Good morning. It's nice to be back in Tullahoma. I see a lot of faces that look very familiar to me. I'm going to embarrass Janae Arlano. She's leaving the sanctuary, but I'm going to embarrass her anyway. I can remember the first time that we visited the Tullahoma church. Our children were going to the church school. We lived in Murfreesboro, and so my wife was driving them back and forth. And so we were visiting, and we were sitting right where Cliff McIntyre is sitting. Of course, I was sitting on the end because that's what men do. We like the end seat for some reason. I don't know. But I was sitting where Cliff was. And we looked over, and the Arlanos are sitting right where they're sitting now. Now, this was how many years ago? Maybe 16 years ago. Maybe a little longer. My wife says longer than that. Her memory's better than mine is. And I saw this little head pop up. And I saw it go down the aisle and across the back. And then I turned my attention back to the front. And as I was watching what was going on the platform, this little person, no taller than this, came up and crawled right up into my lap. And I thought, man, what a great church. You know? And I have shared that story so many times, and I will never forget it. Janae just holds a very special place in my heart because she was just so sweet. I'm guessing she's still sweet. Thank you very much. But every time I see the Arlano family together, I think of that morning. It's good to see a number of other friends here as well. As I mentioned, Cliff, good to see you guys this morning. David, just good to be here. I've chosen this morning as the subject, I want to talk a little bit about Caleb. You know, Joshua gets a lot of acclaim, you know, the battle at Jericho, leading the people of God, but we don't hear much about Caleb. Matter of fact, there's very little in Scripture about Caleb, but there's one specific story about Caleb that has always had my attention, and that's what I want to discuss with you for just a few minutes this morning. I'm sure you've read the story. After spending years in Egypt, experiencing a miraculous escape through the Red Sea, receiving the Ten Commandments at Sinai, and making a relatively brief journey through the wilderness, the Israelites had finally made their way to the borders of the Promised Land. In Numbers 13, God speaks to Moses, instructing that men should be chosen from each tribe to search out the land, the promised land. Not just anyone, but a ruler from each tribe. So 12 men are handpicked, and these 12 men set out on their journey into Canaan. And Moses sends them with the words, "Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, and whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood, there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." And so, skipping ahead 40 days, after 40 days of spying out the land, these 12 men, each a leader in their own right, return with a glowing report, right? I mean, if you can't count on leadership to be positive, who can you count on? Well, unfortunately, these 12 return no glowing report. From Numbers 13:27, "And they told him and said, 'We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.'" It's so easy to see the negative. Have you ever been in a board meeting where a great idea is proposed and it's immediately shut down? Oh, good, I thought our church was the only one. I'm not relieved for you, don't get me wrong, but unfortunately it happens. Such was the experience with Canaan. Instead of bringing a positive report and pointing to God, who has been their constant redeemer, provider, protector, and sustainer, leadership is in full panic. You can almost see them working themselves into a lather. In Numbers 13:30, Caleb tries to still the people before Moses and says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb knew of the promises of God to the Israelites. He had seen God's leading, and he had been with the people of Israel when they left Egypt as they traveled through the wilderness. And despite these obstacles he had seen with his own eyes, he had faith that God could give them the victory. Yet despite this faith and his confidence in God's providence, he is immediately shouted down by 10 of the spies, and the rumors began to swirl. An evil report is brought up that the land eats up the inhabitants and all the people are giants. As a matter of fact, they say, "Even we thought we looked like grasshoppers." Despite Caleb and Joshua's best efforts in Numbers 14:7 through 9 to convince the people that God would help them conquer the land, the congregation wants to do nothing more than to stone these two good men. How quickly the story goes from one of great hope to one of utter despair. For a moment, put yourself in Caleb's sandals. Despite the challenges that have come to the children of Israel, you have maintained your faith. You have confidence that God is leading his people, and you believe God has already given you the promised land. Furthermore, you have seen the promised land. You have spent the last 40 days walking through the promised land. You have tasted the fruit. And now this. In their rebellion, the people had exclaimed, "Would God we had died in this wilderness." Now this prayer was to be granted. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and God declares to Moses, "As ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." God then mentions Caleb by name. It's a dangerous thing when God mentions you by name. "My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." As the spies had spent 40 days in searching out the land of Canaan, the Israelites would now spend 40 years in the wilderness, a day for a year. Rather than wander in the wilderness, let's fast forward for 45 years. After 40 years of wandering through the wilderness and several more years of war in Canaan, Canaan is now in the Israelites' control. The land just over the Jordan had been given to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh by Moses. With the exception of a few pockets of resistance, the fighting was drawing to a close, and it was now time to divide up the land. In Joshua 12:2, we read, "By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe." In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 511, we read, "Before the distribution of the land had been entered upon, Caleb, accompanied by the heads of his tribe, came forward with a special claim." And in Joshua 12, verse 6, we read, "And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word of the Lord, which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Caleb goes on to recount the story we have just reviewed, saying, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought back him word as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore in that day, saying, surely the land where your foot was trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Then Caleb presses his request. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb was justified in making such a bold request because 45 years earlier, God had promised him that mountain. Caleb had been waiting 45 years to claim that promise. Based on the word of the Lord as spoken through Moses, Joshua grants Caleb's request. And at the age of 85, Caleb begins his quest to conquer his mountain. And God sustained him and blessed him. In Judges 1:20, we read, and they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. You know, it's a great story. And we could wrap it up by saying God keeps his promises, which we already know. But I think there are lessons within the story that are valuable for us to recognize. And I'm going to cover just a few. First of all, we are in no different situation than Caleb was on the edge of the promised land. We must have the courage that is founded on our faith in God. You know, Caleb did not disagree with the report of the other 10 spies. There were giants in the land. There were walled cities. And the people were a people of war. This was indisputable. But where others saw only insurmountable obstacles, Caleb saw great opportunity with the blessings of God. Where others measured the giants against themselves, Caleb measured the giants against God. Caleb wasn't willing to allow these concerns over a few walled cities or giants to come between him and claiming the promised land. Based on God's promise, Caleb saw no obstacle God couldn't overcome. It was, as God had said, a land flowing with milk and honey. Caleb was on the edge of the promised land. He had seen it with his own eyes and tasted its fruit. Caleb wanted in. Aren't we in the same situation? While there are many obstacles to overcome, aren't we also on the edge of the promised land? Do we believe it? Or do our actions tell a different story? All the Israelites could see was obstacles. What do we see? Do we see victory based on the promises of God? Or are there too many giants in our way? The 10 spies had lost sight of God's leading. In that moment, they forgot their deliverance from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the daily manna, the fiery mountain, and God's voice as he delivered the 10 commandments. They had seen these things with their own eyes. They had eaten the manna. God had redeemed them, cared for them, fed them, protected them, and promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. God was ready to deliver. And now at the edge of the promised land, they falter. Like the Israelites, we too have had the opportunity to see God lead in our lives. We have realized the benefit of God's protection, His faithfulness toward us, and His love. Do we have the faith of the multitude or the faith of Caleb? God's word is filled with promises. Are we claiming these promises and then exercising faith based on these promises through our actions? Or are we what could best be described as catastrophic Christians? We're rolling right along, consumed by work, school, or play, plodding through the wilderness until something catastrophic happens. There's an earthquake, or a fire, a shooting, or an election. And suddenly, we're on our knees, searching out God's promises and looking for protection. We need to be studying. We need to be claiming God's promises now while we have time. We need to be exercising our faith now. We are on the edge of the promised land. We will need the faith of Caleb to enter. Secondly, we, like Caleb, must be prepared to stand alone. Caleb's faith in God fortified him when he had to go against popular opinion. You know, as a leader in Israel, Caleb had to have known the other 10 spies by name. These were prominent men in Israel. And yet he disagreed with them in his report, and he knew there would be backlash. Not only was he outnumbered by his friends and peers, but the congregation wanted to stone him. Isn't it amazing that those we believe to be our friends and on our side often find a way of getting between us and God? Incidentally, most of us remember the story of Caleb and Joshua, but without looking at your Bible and without asking Maddie, because I'm guessing Maddie knows them. Good to see you this morning, Maddie. Can you name any of the other 10 spies? You can't name the other 10 spies. And yet there is a record in Scripture, and that's a lesson for us as well. A record is being kept. Speaking of standing alone, Ellen White in Historical Sketches, page 158, says this: "In the day of fierce trial, he will say, he, Christ, will say, 'Come, my people.' The people of God are not at this time all in one place. They are in different companies and in all parts of the earth, and they will be tried singly and not in groups. Everyone must stand the test for himself." In other words, everyone will stand alone. The only way we can stand alone is if we stand on the Word of God. And in order to stand on the Word of God, we must know the Word of God. Number three, Caleb kept his eyes on the prize. No doubt through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness in the midst of the trials and frustrations, Caleb had on more than one occasion recited back to himself the promise made by God that he would inherit the land that he had walked on. Caleb never lost sight of this mountain that had been promised to him. He waited patiently for 45 years for God to fulfill the promise. Many of us have been waiting longer than 45 years. I doubt that during that time, Caleb ever forgot the details of his time in Canaan. You know, as I get older, I find myself repeating the same stories over and over to my children. I hope I'm not the only one. I would ask Chuck's children who are here, but maybe we shouldn't go there. Imagine the stories Caleb had to tell his children. His children's children. I can almost hear him saying, "Let me tell you about my 40 days in the promised land, the land that you and I are going to." Are we recounting to others the great things God has done for us, about his sacrifice for us and his atonement for us? How he has led us and this church? Are we talking about heaven and what awaits us there? Or have we lost sight of the prize? I realize that it's easy to be consumed with today. Our work, our families, our challenges and trials. You know, but as Christians, we have greater things to dwell upon. We have the promise of entering the promised land and bear the responsibility to share Christ and what he has done for us with others. We, like Caleb, must keep our eyes on the prize. Number four, age is not a barrier to doing God's will. Even at the age of 85, Caleb had not lost his enthusiasm for the Lord or his mission. At the age of 85, Caleb was still fit for battle. Now, battle during Caleb's day was not a long-distance affair. Now, there was no Israeli Air Force back then. There was no AR.001 that you could use and shoot someone from afar. If you went to war, you had to come face-to-face with your adversary. Battle was an up-close and personal experience where more often than not, you were required to overpower your opponent. A challenge at any age, but at 85. Caleb was prepared for the task that lay ahead. This is an important lesson for us. God will sustain us and equip us as we do his will. The world tells us that as we age, we just should slow down, relax, take vacation. At an age when Caleb should have been retired, drawing Hebrew security payments and living off his 1K account, Caleb was good to go. Caleb boasted that at age 85, he was as ready as he was at 40. I'm a little bit older than 40, but I cannot do what I did at 40. I hope I'm not the only one. This kind of reminds me of a story I heard about HMS Richards. You may have heard a similar story, and I heard it a long time ago. I wish that I had clipped it out and saved it because it's actually a very good story. So there was a camp meeting being held, and local to HMS Richards, and he was very old and was not in a position where he was feeling like attending and speaking, but he decided last minute to attend the camp meeting. And as he entered the building, the program was already in process, but the word quickly filtered through the crowd, HMS Richards is here. HMS Richards is here. So the word finally made its way to the platform, and the speaker was interrupted by someone from the local conference who said, "Brother Richards is in the house. Can we give him the mic for a couple of minutes?" And so they called for him from the front, and they said, "Brother Richards, would you share a word with the people?" And Brother Richards consented. He, said, "Sure, just a few minutes." So they helped him up to the podium. He took his Bible up, and he set it on the podium, and he began to speak. And as he spoke, he was flipping from verse to verse and reciting scripture, and he was flipping and just as only HMS Richards could do. About 10, 12 minutes later, he finished and he was exhausted. And they took him from the platform, and the speaker who was scheduled dared not go after HMS Richards. So they had prayer, they concluded the service, but the folks left the platform, and they noticed a young man who was there noticed that HMS Richards had left his Bible on the podium. And he said, "Wow," to him it was like the Holy Grail of Adventism, to be able to hold HMS Richards' Bible. So he went up to pick up the Bible, and as he reached for the Bible, he realized that the Bible was upside down. Everything HMS Richards had said and supposedly read from Scripture, he had quoted from memory. HMS Richards was good to go. And now I've lost my place. Suffice to say, with age comes an even greater responsibility to share what God has done for us and through us with others. Number five, the life of a Christian is a life of constant warfare. We need to be ready for this warfare. Day by day for 45 years, as Caleb thought about the land he was to inherit, he thought about the giants that inhabited this land. Caleb knew that the only way to take this mountain would be to be ready for battle. Now, I don't know what kind of shape you have to be in to fight giants. But I imagine Caleb had been on one of those 45-year workout programs. After 85 years, the body is going to have some wear and tear. But God had faithfully preserved and sustained Caleb to receive his inheritance. Unlike Caleb, many of us will never have to physically carry a sword into battle against giants. We have something better. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit under the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Are we like Caleb prepared for battle? I don't imagine when Caleb went to Joshua to press his request that he carried with him a dusty old sword. I rather think that Caleb's sword just shined, that it sparkled in the sunlight. Are we ready for battle? Finally, Caleb had chosen to claim the mountain. 45 years had gone by since God had promised this land to Caleb and his descendants. At 85, after many battles, after trudging through the wilderness with this stubborn and obstinate people, Caleb was no doubt tired. Except for Joshua, Caleb is now the oldest man in Israel. Had he chosen to use them, Caleb had a number of excuses. He could give the job to someone else, someone whose joints didn't ache, somebody who was a little younger, somebody who might be a little more up to the task, a little more physically fit. But the mountain had been promised to Caleb. And a promise means nothing unless we choose to claim it. From the book Eternity Past, page 364, Hebron was the seat of the dreaded Anakim, whose formidable appearance had terrified the spies and destroyed the courage of all Israel. This was the place which Caleb, trusting in the strength of God, chose for his inheritance. Caleb claimed the mountain. Like many who grew up in the church, I was baptized when I was 12. And 47 years have gone by since I was baptized. Don't add that up real quick. And while I've experienced God's leading in my life and his provision for me, I find that I still have mountains that I have to claim, challenges and battles that I have to fight. This is the life of the Christian. There are mountains in our lives that need to be claimed, promises in Scripture that need to be claimed daily. God in his word has made every provision necessary for our physical and spiritual health and well-being. But in order to have victory over self and our temptations, we must lay claim to these promises. And God had made every provision for Israel to enter the promised land. He had brought them to the border of the promised land. But because of the report of the 10 men, hundreds of thousands of the Israelites never made it to the promised land. What kind of report are we giving to those around us? Are we making the promised land more or less attractive by the way we live our lives and by our witness? Gospel Workers, page 436. Those who talk unbelief may have a little enthusiasm while the sky is bright and everything is encouraging, but when the battle goes hard, when we have to hope against hope and urge our petitions to the throne of grace through deep darkness, then the unbelieving ones will not talk of the good land of Canaan, but will make prominent the dangers to be encountered. They will dwell on the strong walls and the giants we shall meet when the language of faithful Caleb should be heard. The land is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. We have been promised an inheritance. If we, like Caleb, are faithful, if we keep our eyes on the prize, if we're willing to stand on the promises of God while those around us may fall, standing alone if necessary, we, like Caleb, will gain our inheritance in the promised land. And while we are going to have to fight some battles, while it's bound to get worse, it will get better, much, much better. You know, I found a lot to hold on to in this very short story that is offered in Scripture of Caleb. I'd like to close this morning by reading Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My prayer this morning is that you will join me as we, like Caleb, claim the mountain. Let's take a firm hold on the promises of God. They will sustain us.